Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
On the other side, San Francisco, who, by the way, we talk all this noise about Jared Stidham, Devontae, they lost the game.
They did lose.
Lost in all this is that San Francisco still won the game. Brandon Ayuk, I thought, played really, really good football. And I thought he was great. And he looked great as well. Some of the stats that he racked up came, you know, obviously a little bit later in the game, but that's all good. I thought he played
critical
really, really
moments
good football
in the game.
Yes,
James.
100%. 12 targets, 9 receptions, 101. And a touchdown. Ayuk put together a really, really good game.
He's been putting together a fantastic season too. I wanted to talk about Ayuk because, listen, I kind of want to talk my shit about Ayuk a little bit, man. This is why I believe so strongly in like reception perception and as a stuff like a year to year thing, like. Look, I've lived this life with Tyler Lockett before. Like, remember you and I had those, like, we've talked about him before, the videos about Tyler Lockett back at NFL Network in like 2016, and like, oh man, this guy is going to be a superstar. The reception perception data shows it, and it didn't happen in the box score until like 2018, you know, and
right.
Man, I took the lumps for Lockett and being too excited in 2016, you know, and look, it's a testament to the players. Nobody cares about me. I'm some goofball just sitting here watching what they're doing. I'm just making note of what they're doing. And Ayuk was this guy, man. Like, he's definitely grown and developed into the guy that he is this year. But he has shown, and reception perception has shown, I mean, 75.5% success rate versus man coverage as a rookie, and he's gotten better and better and better. And look, it couldn't have been a more disastrous start last year, you know, from a fantasy angle, getting excited about Ayuk was a disaster. Obviously the benching, the doghouse stuff early last year, it was a disaster. But what we've seen this year is exactly, and what we saw against the Raiders, perfect example. Like, he was coming up with these critical catches to get the team in position to win the game. Like, they could have won the game in regulation. Like, that's something that shouldn't be lost, you know. That the fact that they got, like, Brock Purdy got him down there, and then Robbie Gould missed the field goal that then pushed them into overtime, and then they eventually win it in overtime, whatever. But Purdy got him in position. Ayuk helped get him in position to win the game in the end. But yeah, man, I'm very pleased and feel very validated about how Ayuk has played this year. And he could cross 1,000 yards next game. And like, the 49ers have every incentive to play in week 18 because they can still get the one seed, like, depending on what happens with the Eagles and stuff like that. But right now
I think them even fighting for the two seeds actually really important
because
if let's say Philadelphia locks up the one, right? Okay, fine. But think about that team right now. It's like, they've got their star superstar quarterback. He's banged up. You know, again, like, should something happen after their first round bye, the number two becomes very, very important in terms of where they're at. So I think you're right. Like, regardless of whether or not the one is in play, I think the two being in play is actually really important for them as well.
100%. So Ayuk could get to 1,000 yards next week. He's sitting on 954 and 8 touchdowns. And he's just been so much better than the numbers indicate. Like, that's the thing here, because the numbers are what they are, but he's sharing an offense with George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel. But he has been the consistent biggest factor, I think, from start to finish, because he's just because he's played the whole year. Mm-hmm. He's been this good, man. He's just an incredible receiver that I still think is just getting started. So That's my little victory lap on Ayuk, and just because the guys, it's one thing when, you know, RP is like, hey, this guy's the guy, and he goes out and has the year, and it's awesome. It's another though when they like when it doesn't happen right away. But I feel that Ayuk is a very validating case for reception perception because of how he's played this year.
The 9 catches was a season high, as was the 101 yards. As a matter of fact, the 101 is his first 100-yard game of the entire season. You know, again, you kind of look at the numbers, Matt, and I think when you're look at the box score, as you mentioned, and you look at his overall stats, season-long stats, you'd be like, eh. Hey, he had an okay game, or he had an okay season, right? Like, he'll probably finish with just a little over 1,000 yards, something like, you know, maybe like 80 catches, something like that. But wasn't highly targeted. And I think you look at the catch rate too, and you say, okay, well, you know, 68% catch rate. Okay. That's okay. That's okay. But it's not amazing. But when you isolate his play, and this is what reception perception does, he's just getting open at a very high rate. And I think the quarterback play certainly has not matched his play as well.
I said this on Friday. So good to say this a couple days before he has his best game of the season. But I said this on Friday on Twitter that he is going to shape up to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, do you know ball tests at wide receiver. Because if you're out there like, oh, Ayuk, I don't get it. What do you mean? He has the production, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, but you don't know ball, because watch the guy play. He has been incredible this year. And just think about, like, by the way, think about all the other guys in that offense and think about all the way that team still calls plays, right? So the production stuff, shoot it in the moon. Don't care. Watch him play. Look at the reception perception numbers, which is a direct all that is watching him play. That's watching the games just a reflection of that. The guy is a stone cold stud. I mean, he's 100% a legit number one receiver, just scratching the surface. Guy's been incredible this year. So he is shaping up to be one of, if not the biggest, do you know ball tests at wide receiver when we're having some offseason discourse.
I am very interested to see what San Francisco does at quarterback, man. If they, and listen, Brock, we talked about Jarrett Stidham. Brock Purdy has been, wow, what a find.
Awesome.
What a find for them at quarterback. Because again, I mean, look at how many of these other teams go to their third string guy and they're just throwing up all over their shoes. Like, Brock Purdy's out here actually making plays, you know? Is he a great quarterback? No, of course not. But golly, I'll say this. The guy's not, he's not scared. He ain't scared. He's going to go out there and make plays, man. That's what I liked about seeing Jarrett Stidham. He's just going out there, just letting him hang out, baby. Let's go. Brock Purdy's got a little bit of that in him too, which is great to see. But that being said, now if San Francisco gets an upgraded quarterback, whether they find one through the draft, whether they sign a veteran, whatever they do, they need an upgraded quarterback. Look, I don't care what anyone says. Jimmy Garoppolo's not it. I think he's a fine backup.
Free agent.
But there's all these rumors that San Francisco is going to try to bring him back or whatever.
Because, but like, why? You know, but why would you do that when, like, Brock Purdy at the very like bare minimum has done been a reasonable facsimile, like done a great Jimmy Garoppolo impression.
Totally agree.
106.4 passer rating since week 12.
Totally agree.
He's offered a little bit more with his legs. He's definitely like, and look, he's not perfect on these throws. I get it, but he definitely will push it more than Jimmy will push it for the most part. Like, there were times this year when Jimmy was pushing it down the field a little bit more, but in terms of like deep outside the numbers, Brock is pushing it. So, and by the way, Jimmy's an injury risk. Part of the reason that I think that the 49ers sold the farm to go get Trey Lance was they weren't confident in Jimmy's ability to stay healthy and consistently be available. So if you're the 49ers, if it was me, nobody's asked me, but if it was me, I would just say like, hey, I'm walking into 2023 with Brock Purdy, who probably could win a play. I mean, why could he not win a playoff game? Why couldn't they win the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy? That's number one. Like, I'd walk into it with Brock Purdy, and like, if Trey Lance goes and wins the job, like, is just better than Brock Purdy in the offseat. Like, why not have it? We haven't had a real, like, a good old fashioned 50-50 chance quarterback competition between two guys who are interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like we've had the Mitch Trubisky. Well, they didn't shoot. Even the Steelers were like, nah, Mitch Trubisky's starting week one. Kenny Pickett then got a chance to start week one. It's usually like dusty vagabond veteran and young guy who is definitely going to take the job eventually. We haven't had like a good old fashioned, hey, 50-50. This guy's like, give this guy 50% chance, this guy 50% chance. Whoever wins the job gets the job. We hadn't had one of those in a while. Certainly we had one on like a good team in a while. Why can't it be Brock Purdy and Trey Lance in 2023? I think that's what I would do.
I love it. They're not going to do it, but I love it.
I don't know, man. I kind of feel like they might, just because
San Francisco's like, one of, and this is Shanahan, and they're just tinkerers. They tinker all the damn time. They don't stick with their guys. Look what they've done at the running back position. They can't help themselves. They're the fantasy manager that's changing their lineup 15 fucking times every week. They don't stick with their dudes. They tinker all damn day because they think they can outsmart the trends or outsmart the numbers or outsmart the room. That's what Shanahan does. They're going to tinker this offseason because that's what they do.
I don't know.
I do think there's another, but there's definitely another side of Shanahan that's like, you know, look, this guy, Mr. Irrelevant. And now look what I've done.
I like that narrative. I like that narrative a lot. Okay.
There's this whole like idea that they're gonna sign Tom Brady because
they grew up a 49ers fan, didn't you know?
Why would Kyle Shanahan want to come and be like, you know what, I needed to get over the top? I needed Tom Brady to come save my ass to get over the top. It's like, nah, I'm gonna take Brock Purdy or this guy Trey Lance, who, yeah, sure, he was the third overall pick. We traded a bunch of first round picks for him, but that guy barely played football for like 100 years. And you know what? I made him into a superstar player. It's all about Kyle. It's all about the flat brim making this thing happen.
That's right.
And I think that's right. Why they'll go with those two guys.
Dude, you know what? You sold me, dude. I love that. I love that. It's all about the flat brim. Yes, 100%. You're right. They're going Brock Purdy next year. Dude, that's it. Done deal. I love that. Okay. Hey, listen, we've gone a little long here talking about nonsense, but that's all good. Hey, listen, in a couple of days here, by the way, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, please do that. We're going to be keeping this conversation going all off season long. And, you know, to be honest with you, a lot of the off-season conversation, I think, is going to be really, really interesting as well. So many folks find what Matt does with receptor perception to be fascinating in terms of what he finds, in terms of his findings from this season and applying it into 2023. So we shall see what's going on there. But so again, go check out receptorperception.com. Obviously, Matt's got a YouTube as well. Go check that out. But if you're not subscribed to the podcast, we would very much appreciate you subscribing to the podcast as well. But in a couple of days, when we do our second show of the week, we will break down our best and worst calls of the season. There needs to be a little counting done every now and again. I always get mad when fans are like, oh, these guys never tell you when they're wrong. First of all, BS. Like, there are so many of us in both, you know, the journalistic space and in the fantasy space, we'll tell you when we're wrong and we'll tell you why we were wrong. So that whole narrative to me is complete and utter BS. Anyways, this particular show, not going to shy away from that either. So we will talk about our,
you know what it is, by the way, it's usually the people the same people that, like, why don't you respond to every question on Twitter or whatever? It's like, 'cause not everything happens on Twitter. Like maybe consume the content. Like, In my recap article for Yahoo, I publicly flogged myself on the podcast for this morning. I flogged myself for I'm pretty sure I said Daniel Jones, like Tyrod Taylor is going to start games for the Giants at some point this year. Yeah, I ripped myself for that. Like, consume the content. Yeah. I guarantee you, we'll tell you when we're wrong. We're just not every fantasy analyst is going to come. And there are, well, by the way, there are people who do shy away from telling you when they're wrong. Yeah. Or whatever. But you know what? I'm certainly not going to do this because I got a life. I know James is not going to do this because he's got a life. We're not going to put out a statement from the offices of James Coe or Matt Harmon, like, tweet every time something goes wrong. So give me a break.
Come on, man. Like, it doesn't
get off Twitter. Get off Twitter. Consume some real content, for God's sake.
Yeah, there you go. Add a baby. So we'll talk about our best and worst calls of the season, of which there will be some interesting takes there for sure. And then after that, again, we go to once a week. And again, we're just going to be bringing you, hot fire takes all off season long. And it should be a lot of fun. We're going to talk ball. Come on, man. Come join the ride. Subscribe to the podcast as well. All right. So for Matt Harmon, I am James Goh. We'll see you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.